Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends talk about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
I forgot James wasn't here, so I have to say it.
Nice and quick there, Jamie. Yeah,
it's all right.
It's just the two of us today. We
can make it if we try.
We are at Dunfermline Comic Con in the Glen, and it has been an absolute cracking day, and we've just had a small Pikachu run by us, and about to swing on a tree by the looks of things. Yeah.
That Detective Pikachu film's different than I thought it was going to be.
It's kind of been that day where we've had lots of small different versions of pop culture characters run by us.
There's a guy earlier who was... Ash from Pokemon, and his kid was a Charizard.
That's amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Liked it.
There's
good Dread as well.
Some absolute cracking cosplay going on. It's been a fantastic day so far, and we've got some good interviews with some of the local artists coming up as well.
Well, I thought we were doing the intro.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were going to keep a pretense that we hadn't done it yet.
Ah, right. Okay.
But we've thought, not. So
why not? But
yeah,
let's just,
that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, just we've broken the
illusion.
First window because it's audio. I don't know.
This has kind of been the day. You'll find this out as you hear some of the questions as we go. Professional as f***. But yeah, we're better when we've got a few whiskies in us, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, it's been a cracking day, and we've seen and spoke to some interesting like artists. We were in a panel at one point where it was some of what was sort of talking about collaboration in the industry.
Yeah, and it was interesting because they talked about collaboration a lot, but then it sort of went into a lot about not getting paid by by people and stuff, and it can take ages to get paid, and it can be hard to work with other people, and money's an issue. But it was all,
I think it was
really
it was,
interesting.
Yeah, it was important important to what obviously they were talking about as well, because they were talking about, you know, like if you want to get into doing comics, you know, these are the steps that you need to do. These are the people that you work with. But then they went quite deep into the money side of it, because I think it is probably important that to make sure that new people coming in aren't getting sort of ripped off, and that they know the kind of industry that they're going to go into, that there's potential for sort of mistakes to be made, or that, you know, people will ask you for your time but not necessarily give you much money. I think what they talked about was the idea of, you know, you don't work for free, and they were saying, well, actually, you know, choose your battles on that, because there are occasions where, you know, if somebody came along, I think they used Brian Michael Bendis, who's like one of the biggest comic book sort of writers, did the Ultimate Spider-Man and the whole Ultimate sort of side of the Marvel universe, and written for DC as well. And I think he currently heads up one of the TV divisions or something like that.
Oh, wow.
He saying that if he came along and asked them to do something for next to no money, you would do it because you would get the exposure, you know, regardless of whether or not whether or not it was like for a big name like Marvel or DC, or if it was an independent, his name alone would bring you that exposure. So
actual exposure
instead of
people are like, oh, exposure, and usually it's, and they said that like they get asked for it, but usually it's like 10 people who'd read it, so
people.
What's the point?
Yeah. So it's that idea of if somebody big came along and said, I don't have any money to pay you, but you know, this will be good, then do it, because you'll get tons of work on the back of that. So that was interesting. It was definitely I think good for young creators. But that's what this whole thing's been about. It's, you know, there's definitely a feel of lots of creators, lots of, you know, I say, writers, artists, colorists, letterers, you know, to the jobs that you think, you know, are maybe done all by one person, but it is split out, and it's very much a collaborative effort, and it's going to be kind of cool to see how that works.
Yeah, it's interesting talking to him as well. which you're about to hear.
Yeah, yeah. We'll slice in some of these interviews. We've spoken to I think Colin Maxwell from Maximize Comics.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Neil Solance, who's like political cartoonist, but also has his own run of stuff.
Yeah, who I knew purely from his political stuff, and you knew purely from his
comic book work. And his sort of collaborator Colin Bell as well. We spoke to him. He writes the stuff and letters. Who else did we speak to? And we spoke to Brendan Fletcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's written for DC. From Canada, lives in Brooklyn.
Has a lot of connections to here as well.
Yeah, so you'll hear some of that. So we'll get on with it and maybe just let you guys listen to that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? So, we are here at Dunfermline Comic Con. We're with Maximize Comics, is it? Yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, and Colin Maxwell. He is one of our local comic book creators, and we're quite excited to be here and have a chance to actually talk to you. I've been following you on Twitter for quite some time and seeing your books whenever we go into Little Shop of Heroes as well. What is Dunfermline Comic Con like for a local creator like yourself?
Oh, it's the best Comic Con I ever do. I guess partly because there's a local audience and some of my books have kind of got local interest stuff, Robert the Bruce, and even the big Comic Con book is set at this Comic Con. So that kind of makes it interesting. It's probably my favourite con because it is local, but because I just know loads of people that come here and everybody stops by to chat and people just enjoy the event. It's a real family event, you know, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I've never been. I've always meant to come, but I've never been before. You know, I'm massively into sci-fi and stuff, but not the biggest comic book fan. But it's really nice. It's much bigger than I thought it'd be. You know, the marquee and everything's on. It's a really nice atmosphere as well.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, we've talked about this, and we've talked about it with Albie as well, about how they've created this community in the local area, and obviously given, you know, creators like yourself as well this opportunity to come to push your local books as well, and it's so nice to see something like this in Dunfermline as well. It was missing for such a long time, I think, as a big comic book geek myself, to see that they're bringing things in again, like with yourself. Has that brought a, you know, has, does this con, does like Albie and the Little Shop of Heroes, has it brought a closer connection to your fans and the people that are, you know, like consuming your stuff?
Yeah, definitely. The sort of the big community thing is really good. You find in Scotland the comic community anyway is quite close, and you know, everybody really gets on. People work together. You know, I've been working with Ian Kennedy here, who's been in the industry 70 years. You know, Graham Neil Reid, who's another Dunfermline artist, is and does Commando comic covers. He's working with me on another project. But this event in particular, you just see people pitching in and helping. So, for example, Ryan North, who's come over from Canada for the event, who's a writer of Squirrel Girl, you know, big comic, he was helping set up the fences around the marquee yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I was here yesterday helping put the chairs out and things, you know, and people just come along and pitch in. It's a real kind of family, and I don't mean that in the kind of ordinary family, but everybody's part of the big family, you know, and you really get that sense here.
I don't know much about your stuff. Are you the writer or the artist? Or
Writer of all of these books. I occasionally dip my toes into the artwork. So now and again, maybe some of the stories, like some of the anthologies, I'll have done maybe one or two of the stories. I'm starting to step up my game when it comes to art. So my next book that's out, I'm writing and drawing as well. So that's another local interest story. That's Raid on the Fourth, which is about the first air raid of World War II, which took place pretty much at the Fourth Rail Bridge.
Yeah.
80 years ago today, this year, so it's the 80th anniversary. And we're launching that at an event here, actually here in this very same building, at the first week in August at the Defend Fife event.
Wow, that's a... is that like where, you know, with all the World War II embankments around the Fourth, like up at Brayfoot and in the middle, is that... That sort of, were they involved in that? They're like gun stations.
For sure. So it was a bit of a surprise attack. It was six weeks after the war was announced, in 1939. A real surprise attack. A dozen German bombers came over looking for HMS Hood, which was kind of the flagship of the Royal Navy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't actually here at the time. It had gone by the time they arrived. And so they bombed some other ships out in the Forth. A real surprise attack, so much so that the batteries, the stations that you mentioned, weren't even prepared for it. They didn't have live ammunition.
Right.
So they had to take their dummy ammunition, their practice ammunition out, change it. So it resulted in only two of the German planes being shot down, actually by Spitfires, which had actually only arrived about 2 weeks earlier in Scotland.
Wow.
So for what you're saying, local interest, you know, sort of historical book like that, I mean, is there, I can only assume there must be a lot of research goes on for that.
Well, Rudy the Fourth, I've been working on this for 5 years, I started working and doing comics. I've been thinking about doing this local story, and it's taken until now to actually get that up and running. Lots of research, lots of reading, lots of, trying to piece together the stories, because sometimes there's conflicting views. You know, like the movie Outlaw King was out recently about Robert the Bruce, and there was kind of people saying, yeah, it was good, and other people saying, oh, well, didn't like this part about it.
More historically accurate than Braveheart, but still issues with it.
For sure. There were no blue faces or kilts to be seen, which was kind of good. But, you know, as an artist, you still kind of get it wrong sometimes. It's hard to say, and you sometimes upset people, and other people think, it's wonderful that the story's getting told in a different kind of format.
Well, that's artistic license for you, isn't it? You're never going to know everything, but it's good because again, to have a local artist, bringing these local stories to life as well. Again, it's that sort of thing where I think you sometimes can't tell these stories in a book. Or in a TV show or a film, it's they don't quite have that range where you're able to set the imagery and set the tone for the whole thing as well. Through your art, through your colours, through the story. It's just another great way to bring these stories to life for people that want to know, and for the kids and everything like that in the area as well. I mean, I know that certainly I would have loved a Bruce and Wallace comic book when we were going through all that kind of stuff in primary school. Do you find
again make it part of a curriculum at Dunfermline High? Yes,
definitely. Do you find that that kids are like your main audience for like something like the Bruce and Wallace, Tales of Bruce and Wallace?
Certainly kids do love it, and probably my biggest audience is teachers love it. They'll buy a copy, they'll take it into school. It's another way of just engaging some kids who would be turned off by history. You get the kids copying some of the drawings and things, making their own artwork. I've done a couple of talks at school. I've been invited along to school to talk about the comic and stuff. Even my old primary school from way back in whatever century that was, they invited me along, and it was great seeing the old place. Everything's kind of changed to some extent, but the kids were really engaged. They wanted to kind of draw stuff and write their own stories about kind of knights and stuff, and it was really, really good fun.
That's awesome. And I mean, again, it's nice to see that idea where people are or kids are being engaged and then wanting to do it. We talked about this with Albie as well, about the idea that they're down there and they are getting kids coming in and making comics and bringing them comics and bringing them things, and it's just great to see that there's this sort of little burgeoning community and again inspiration, I suppose, coming from the local area. It's good to see. And have you got anything else to say?
I was going to ask about you seem to have a lot of sort of steampunk, if that's sort of base work. So is that sort of out of your apparent love for history as well, mixed with something else like technology, or how do you think you got into that?
Well, I think if I had to pick a genre that I love most, it's sci-fi. I'm not really a big superhero fan. I quite like war comics as well, and that kind of led me, I suppose, the kind of history thing led me a little bit into steampunk. I was at a convention a few years ago and saw these people dressed up, and I had no idea what this was about, and it just kind of drew me in. And because there's a tenuous kind of family link to a scientist called James Clerk Maxwell.
Oh, really?
And wow. Weren't blood relations, because the name Maxwell was actually adopted by his family. Who owned a house that was owned by the Maxwell family, and we can kind of trace that back to that family. So there's a tenuous link there, family-wise. And
I'd take any links to Maxwell I could get.
And I like the idea of turning him into some kind of superhero almost character.
Is Maxwell in your comics?
He's in my comics, yeah. So the Professor Maxwell is James Clerk Maxwell, reinvented. I went to...
Electromagnetic, oh my
indeed,
God.
Yeah, electromagnetic spectrum, it all fits together. I went to a writing workshop with Emma Beebe, and Emma's an Edinburgh-based writer who's the first woman to write Judge Dredd.
Oh.
And Emma...
I grew up in 2000 AD, so...
Yeah, she had just done a story of her own, which is Robbie Burns, Witch Hunter. So she'd taken a historical character and given him a kind of...
Like Tam O'Shanter, sort of.
Yeah, and it totally gave me this idea of mixing Maxwell with sci-fi and, you know, kind of H.G. Wells, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's where it came from.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool. Maxwell doesn't get enough credit either, as, you know, he was...
He
was the most important Scottish physicist ever. You
Emma
know.
Actually did the foreword to the comic, and she does say that in her foreword, which is quite interesting. She says, "Really, it should be hard to grow up anywhere without hearing about Maxwell. Einstein and Newton have appeared in fiction, film and television many times, but Maxwell, no doubt on the same list, no doubt with the same measure of genius, had to wait a little longer."
Oh. Is physicists always, you know, when they ask him, Maxwell's always near, but who's the, you know, most important physicist? Maxwell's always right up there, but public generally don't seem to. That's amazing. I didn't realise that.
But hey ho, here you are doing your bit to bring him to the forefront.
Thanks very much.
Borrowed enough of your time, but thank you very much for chatting with us. Anything to say to the Fife fans out there?
The Fife fans? Yeah, get out there and back comics. You know, a lot of people love movies and TV shows and things, but a lot of them came from comics. So, you know, go back and back your roots, back these, you know, small creators that come to events like this. You know, if you want to see more varied stuff on Netflix and Amazon TV, that's where they're getting their ideas from, these
Miller World
comic books and things. Yeah. Umbrella Academy, The Road to Perdition, Walking Dead, they were all comic books before there were TV shows. So, you know, if you want really good variety entertainment on your TV, you've got to support the grassroots.
Yeah. And buy Colin's stuff, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
So we've got some regular punters here, we just want to know, how's Comic-Con been for you?
It's been pretty exciting. I've enjoyed myself. Yeah. Don't think anybody really got my outfit, but that's fine.
Do you want to introduce yourselves first?
I'm Megan.
I'm Jonathan.
There we go. Okay.
Is this...
I don't have an exciting title or anything.
I have to ask them, what's your costume been?
Oh,
is this like blood?
I totally I get the camera now.
I thought it was like bad face paint.
No, it's like... No.
I love Jessica Jones. I totally get it now. Yeah. I have a camera. Oh.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
It is actually really good.
It doesn't work if I have to tell you first, okay?
Yeah. I mean, she has pretty nondescript clothes, though, you know, so like...
Leather jacket, boots. You see a picture, I thought I nailed it, but obviously nobody's going around with a picture like, yeah.
It's just your general style.
You're
you know?
Smiling too much to be Jessica Jones.
That's a very good point. Yeah. I saw a picture of me a wee while ago. It was when the Dalek attacked me.
Oh.
Like, I could see the David Tennant with the thingy behind his back, like, actually attacking me. I was up against the wall of the thing and couldn't move. And I was smiling, and it looks so ridiculous because I've got, like, all the frowny lines on.
When I first saw the Dalek earlier, I did get a moment of fear. It's like, I've actually seen him before when I was a kid, and I was scared of him then as well.
Moment of fear, and then
like, ha, 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 Dalek.
Yeah, that's it. Almost childlike, you know, excitement. Like, ha, 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 Daleks, Daleks.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Have you been to the con before?
I haven't, actually. The last couple of years I've been at university, and I've been like, I should always go, and they never do.
It's a pretty cool thing. We were just talking with Colin Maxwell about how
sort of Albie and the guys at Little Shop of Heroes have built this amazing community, and that they're able to then do this and pull this together. Again, you're like, what was it that attracted you to come in today?
Just all the cool stuff. It's nice to see other people getting involved, like the geek community that you might not be able to interact with straight off the bat. All the cool costumes are amazing. We've bought so many prints. Like, I'm not going to survive next month's rent, but...
So that is the problem. Like, walking around, it's just like, ooh, that looks interesting. Oh, that book looks interesting. And, I like the art style in that. But, yeah, I could easily spend a bomb here.
So it's the things you wouldn't find by yourself either. Mm. Like, I would not find these people on the internet with all these prints. So, like, not only have I been able to give them my money in order to support them, I've got something really, really cool out of it.
Can you remember any of the names of the people you've been... Oh, that's a no.
I took all their cards. Harry draws books.
He's the guy that did the big poster for the Comic Con this year.
Ah, nice. Yeah. That's very good. You don't have to, it's just a view.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, even though you might not remember the names right now, you've got the prints. It's something that then, if you see their art style again, you see anything, the name might, you know, sit in the back of your mind and you might see something and it bring it forward, you know, and... I think that's the cool thing. It total exposure to all these cool creators and all that. You know, it's sweet. But yeah, well, thank you very much for having a wee chat with us. And enjoy the rest of the call. Thank you.
See you there.
Right. Thank you very much. We're here with Neil Sorens, you're one of our sort of local creators to the con. We've just spoke with Colin Maxwell about sort of like the how this con is here, and what makes is this a good con for somebody like yourself?
Yes, this is a perfect con for someone like myself, because I feel like it's very creator centric. Like, it's very, very supportive towards like local comic artists and indie artists, and also, like, on the whole, very supportive to just comics and comic artists, which I know sounds dumb for a comic con, but you see a lot of kind of bigger cons where it's like the main focus is like merchandise or like movie stuff, and like comics or indie comics is like a very, very small corner of that. Whereas Dunfermline Comic Con, I feel like comics and comic creators and independent comics is like a huge focus of it, and that really shines through. And I think for me, that's what really makes it for me, for sure.
Where are you from then?
Glasgow, so fairly local, but an hour away local.
Yeah. I follow you on Twitter.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, mainly for the sort of political cartoon. Yeah. Yeah, but no, love your stuff. I didn't know you were going to be here, and then walked past your stall and went, oh, hello.
Ah,
yeah.
Thanks very much.
But your stuff was very, like... Was the Independence campaign a big turning? Because that's when I start. No, was it? It would have been after Independence campaign when I started to notice your stuff.
I think that was for me and a lot of people. It was kind of like a political, like, awakening for sure. Because all of a sudden you were faced with this choice, and then you have to, and then you from that you kind of start paying more attention to like the constitution and politics and Scottish politics and the kind of relationship between Scotland and the UK. You'd kind of. The NDRF like brought up a heightened kind of awareness around all of that for a lot of people, and yeah, that was kind of the start for me for when I started being more involved or at least conscious in it. But then it wasn't till maybe I think 2015 when I started drawing like stupid little cartoons about like the general election and all the live debates they were doing.
Yeah, it was the live debates I think where I really saw
so
your
that's
stuff.
How I started. I was just like live drawing the live debates and doing like stupid jokes about them, and then but that kind of picked up attention between like politicians and stuff, and I think Nicola Sturgeon got in touch about it, and then from there STV got in touch and they wanted me to draw their election for them, and then from there I did like a weekly comic for them, and then now I do a weekly comic for the National. So
I was
kind of snowballed and taken this really weird direction, but it's came out of nowhere for me. I've kind of stumbled into it. It's a funny one.
That's great though, because that's like, I didn't even know you did other stuff though, you know. I knew you from like, you know, it was the images you did of like of Nicola and Ruth, and I think you did Patrick as well, and whoever else, you know, all around the debates, and then the Comic Now and the National, which you see as well. So
it's a funny one. Like, I think I've got weirdly like different audiences, because I do, one of the things I'm best known for is a comic called Dungeon Fun, which is like a big all ages audience of like younger people, but then I also have politics stuff, and I do like journal comics and travel logs as well. So
really?
I have all these different fingers and pies and stuff. Yeah.
Oh wow. Do you find that one set of work reinforces the other, or are they sort of siloed off? You know, do you think that your success around Scottish politics mainly has helped the other work, or do you think it's not really affected it, or?
It's not something I've ever thought about. I'm not sure. I've always thought of them as totally separate things with kind of separate audiences. I mean, maybe there's some kind of Venn diagram of like people coming and going, but I don't know. I like to think it's different audiences, and obviously if you don't...
Well, I'm completely siloed off in the Scottish politics Twitter sort of audience.
Well, obviously, I like to think if people don't agree with me, but like politically, they'd still enjoy my other work.
I can understand that.
It's not like that. Some people find it hard separating art and the artist, but I don't know.
It's kind of cool that you do have those two sort of work streams, I suppose. On the more sort of fanciful side of your work, we were listening to Colin talk about doing lettering for you as well, and that yous kind of have a bit of a like close working partnership there. That's not something that is always necessarily the case in the comic book world, in the industry as well. Like artists, letterers, colorists, the whole thing can be separated by oceans sometimes. Have you worked that way before? And would you say working with somebody a bit more closer, is it a sort of better experience? Is it more helpful?
Yeah, I prefer it much more. I think me and Colin have a very close working relationship where we'll take it one step at a time, where even just he'll be like, what do you want to draw? And I'll be like, well, I like drawing this. And he'll write scripts and stories that play very much to my style. I have a very kind of set style, and he really like plays to that and writes to that, and we bounce off ideas and stuff. So I really prefer working like that. It feels more involved, and we kind of bounce ideas off each other as well. I've worked with other comics where it's a very kind of clinical, here's the script, do it and get back to me, do you know, in a set deadline, whereas me and Colin like to kind of bounce off each other, play to each other's strengths, maybe change things here and there, for sure. I think it's a really good relationship, even if it takes a bit longer.
Do you think that in the end does actually produce something that's a bit kind of better and more sort of tied together?
Yeah. I like to think so, yeah. I like to think...
Yes, my work's fantastic.
I like to think it comes across in Dungeon Fun and Pirate Fun, because people said that, you know, they really enjoyed it and really found it funny and kind of playful. So I like to think that all the kind of fun and playfulness we put into it came across to people reading it as well. We had a lot of fun making it, so
That's cool. Yeah. Anything else?
No.
Well,
random questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for chatting to us. Actually, there was one other thing. Is the local scene something which is like bursting at the moment? It seems to have been a long time coming, that there's a lot of independent artists and writers and everything. We've got people like some of the independent comic shops, like in Dunfermline, obviously Little Shop of Heroes as well. Is there a lot of sort of working collaboration, not necessarily on like comics themselves, but you know, is there a community kind of growing within there as well?
Do you mean within, like, between the artists and creators? Or, like, do you mean the shops and things? Or
amongst it all, really, I suppose.
I think so, yeah. I was talking about this earlier. Like, for me, the local community, at least from what I kind of grew up in around Glasgow, was, like, hugely supportive. Like, and it never felt like I was in competition with people or anything like that. I always felt I was, like, everyone was super supportive and helpful, and like anytime I need like help with something or tips in something, like someone was like more than happy to help. And with like conventions as well. Like, the people who run Dunfermline are, like, super nice and encouraged. And they've done a lot for me. Like, they've put my stuff in their shop, and they've had me for, like, sign-ins and things, and they've really pushed my work. Like, I think, yeah, like, the creators and, like, the other people, like the con organizers and people who are in the comic shops, like, all kind of build this big community that's, like, very welcoming and very, like, supportive of itself as well. I think it's a really great community. And I don't think I would have gotten as far without that. I think if it was, like, a toxic community or vice versa, I mean, we just would have been, like, sack it. But because it was so supportive and I wanted to always been making new work for different cons and stuff, I think that's kind of one of the reasons I'm still here, for sure.
Excellent. Well, yeah, thank you very much for having a chat with us. Yeah. I think we're going to try and catch Colin as well and see if we can speak to him. Yeah, so that's, we want to get some of the local guys chatted to, and then we're going to see who else we can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we're here with Colin Bell, again, one of our local writers, letterers, you name it. We've spoke with Neil, who you work with quite closely, and we were at the panel earlier on, and we're listening to what you had to say with the other guys. Again, the question we put to everybody so far, a con like this in your local area, how is it for you?
Oh, it's a delight. It's lovely. It's really good. I mean, I've been to Dunfermline Comic Con a couple of times now, and I think this might be the best one yet. It's just lovely to have, like, such an enthusiastic and supportive event so close to home. And I think the turnout for the event kind of speaks to that as well. Everyone seems to be having a great time.
Excellent. I think as well, like, we were listening to you talk about, you know, the collaborative side of your work with Neil. We spoke with Neil and again sort of asked him about how it feels to be able to work with somebody so closely rather than, you know, oceans apart, which it can sometimes be in this industry. You kind of mentioned, I think, that it works in an interesting way. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. What did Neil say?
He said you were great. No, he said it was great work. We have a really close relationship.
Yeah, I think it's a very special one because we were friends first before we were collaborators. But we work pretty closely. But it's not so much as much in person as you might think, given that we live, you know, geographically we live pretty close together. But we don't necessarily sit in the same room to do stuff a lot of time. Most of it's just done over the internet. I'll send him a few pages, he'll send me something back, I'll letter it, send it back to him. And it's just this constant process of improvement on pages that we just work and work and work until we go, well, that page is done, then move on to the next one. It's very, very... I don't know if everyone works that way. We work that way. That's kind of what works for us. But again, Neil might have contradicted me, so I'm just fumbling in the dark here.
So I guess in a way, it's kind of similar to how people work across oceans. But you have, what you were saying in the panel is you do have that shorthand because you know each other, so maybe you kind of know where each other are going.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. We've been working together for years, so we don't have to go into too much detail if I'm suggesting for Neil to do something. I don't feel I have to explain myself.
Yeah, you don't have to sell it to him.
No. I mean, there's certainly an element in trust that we're both fans of each other's work, so we're both happy to see each other working to our full potential. So we're both encouraging for trying wacky. Can I swear?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And it's just a really nice. You know, I'm working. I'm making comics with my best mate, so it's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. It's cool. Like I've said this as well. Like. I wish when I was growing up I'd had like something like this because like comics, when I was small and younger, I wanted to get into comics, but then I never had the patience for it, I think was my thing. But something like this would have spurred me on where I could have come and, you know, spoke to creators. Have you found that you guys coming to events like this and just being in the local area, are you having an influence on younger sort of creators? And
I don't feel like it's for me to decide, but certainly we get lots of young fans coming up and showing us the stuff they've done, and that's absolutely magic. It's one of the reasons that I keep doing it. And I know that Neil does all his workshops and helps young budding cartoonists and schools and stuff get off the ground. So if we do have that influence, that'd be lovely, but I couldn't possibly say.
Yeah. But that's it's sort of the thing here is like that's what I thought sitting in the panel when I think I was asked, oh, how many people are into or want to get into writing comics, and quite a few people, you know, quite a few younger people put their hands up, and I was like, it's really good to, you know, be it's like in this in the local in Dunfermline as well. You know. I said before that if the Little Shovel Heroes, the shop who organised this, had existed, I would have pushed me over the edge, like into Warhammer and even more comics. I used to read some comics, but not loads. You know, but it's great that there's that sort of supportive thing, both for people who, you know, want your consumers and people who want to, you know, be producers as well. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Again, it's, you know, local comic shops and the independent comic shops around about. I feel like I'm repeating my questions, but I just want to see what everybody says because it's totally interesting. We've got places like Little Shop of Heroes, and there's tons of these shops opening up all across the place. You know, does that help you guys get closer to your audience as well? And on the local scene, are you going to the stores? Are you doing more sign-ins? Are you doing more talks and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. We've been very fortunate in that we've been championed by the stores that stock us. So especially Little Shop of Heroes through in Dunfermline, Forbidden Planet in Glasgow have always stocked us and been really supportive. They've had us in for signings and stuff as well. And you can't really underestimate the impact that it has in getting your work out there. So it's really good to have a relationship with the stores. But not just like with the shops, but the people that work in the shops. And it's just... I don't know, it just speaks to the whole community vibe. You know what I mean? It's not just Little Shops of Heroes that are selling my book, it's the Grangers. And, you know, it's the guys in Forbidden Planet in Glasgow that sell my book for me. And it's just really supportive and really nice to have such a welcoming environment.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that we've got so far. I mean, we've mainly spoken to local folk, but there is an absolute... you know, great community, and that it's something that these stores are building. We've talked about it with Albie as well, about how it's like a safe place as well. You know, you come to somewhere like this where you've got geeks and nerds and the whole lot, people who, you know, don't, I think at one time would have been heavily underrepresented in this area. We've now got this event going on, and we've got a store where people can go in and just be themselves and you know, chat and they're helping bring that on. It's nice to see and to know that then there's local creators as well that are absolutely supporting that.
Well, to ask you, do you have anything? I think you did lettering for Dungeon Fun, is it?
Yeah, I wrote in Letter Dungeon Fun.
Yeah, do you have anything else coming out soon that you'd like or working on that you'd like to?
Pirate Fun remains in continuous development. Okay. So ideally, what we'd like to do is get the next issue of Pirate Fun out for the summer, and then hopefully have the next two issues following that fairly quickly. Okay. Because we realise that a lot of people wait for these things a long time, and that's especially difficult when you've got young children who do not accept the concept of time.
Yeah. Six months to them is like an eternity.
Well, yeah, right. It took like 3 years to get the first Pirate Fun out as well, Dungeon Fun. So we're keenly aware that we need to try and get things out in the schedule, and yeah, that's where my focus will be for the time being.
Oh, nice. Fair enough.
So I suppose that was going to be one of my questions, is that, you know, you're doing your own stuff at the moment. What is your capacity for doing other work at the moment in time, or are there any other projects that you're thinking of, or you know, have worked on recently?
I feel very lucky to work with Neil. We have a great relationship, and to be honest, I foresee most of the comics that we'll be doing in the future with him. I've had one or two ideas in the fire for other stuff for a while. It just depends to be seen if I can get anyone to come along with me in that, but we'll see. It'd be nice, but if my lot in life is just to keep making comics with Neil, I'm very happy with that.
Nice.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for chatting with us. We're here with Andy Turnbull, who's, again, one of our local artists, somebody that we've known from past life. I suppose my question is, how did you get into all of this?
Since I was a kid, I'd just always drawn, and comics were just always a thing around, and I was always more interested in that than anything else in terms of like toys, computer games, anything else. It's always just got the bug very quick. I grew up on an army base, so I had all the British stuff and all the American stuff side by side, so I kind of grew up with like Batman and the Beano side by side. There wasn't anything different. So then I came to the UK and lost all that and just had to cope with like the Beano and the like, but then thankfully Marvel UK and Transformers came up the scene, and that kind of had me. That was me.
Yeah. That's interesting, because we've talked about this before with Albie. Like, I took the traditional Scottish route of comics, which was like the Dandy, Urwilly, and then the Beano, and then 2000 AD.
No, I kind of side by side, because they were always there. So you would get like the Bees, because the Bees at the time had Banana Man, and so it was still like a superhero fix as such. And then, so yeah, the same thing, Marvel UK, anything licensed I would pick up for a while, but always seemed to gravitate back to Transformers. But then I got a friend, had his older brother had Best of 2000 AD, so I got the first exposure was the reprint of Judge Death Lives and the Requiem for a Heavyweight, so two big Dread stories. Like, no pun intended with a heavyweight. And that was me then, so it's Transformers and 2000 AD, and then that's kind of been the sort of comics that I kind of always keep going back to. So even if I stop collecting either for a while, it's like there'll be a new creative team, or just like, oh, have a look and see what's changed.
Yeah,
and you're back in.
Because a lot of the work that I see you putting up on Twitter and that, it is very much Transformers based. Is that your sort of your jam basically?
Oh no, anything. Just at the moment, my biggest thing I'm doing at the moment is a daft adaptation of the classic cinema film Shakma. A three-panel daily adventure strip. For no other reason than I just thought, I quite fancy doing a daily comic strip again, because I'd done that with the Transformer parody once for a while.
Yeah,
and I was just searching for an idea, and I'm winding up a friend, because she really doesn't like Shakma. She's like, I could fancy doing that as a comic. She goes, you wouldn't dare. Here we are, end of March, 74 strips done. A third of the way. Only a third of the way through the film.
Only a third of the way. What a ridiculous film to do as well. I love it.
It's a great film.
It's an absolute classic. I remember seeing the trailer for it on the Nightmare on Elm Street 4 VHS when I was about 10, 12. I never saw the film until I was in my 30s and found it on YouTube. It's like, this is just as great as I thought it'd be. And by great, I mean awful.
I've only seen bits of it.
Great. This baboon hates doors and LARPers, which, well, not a bad thing in either respect. But it's just... And Roddy McDowell slumming it. And it's like... Getting killed by a monkey. It's like, come on, Roddy, you had a career. Obviously had, and it's why he's in Shakma.
Yeah, but that's a fair point.
But it's the right kind of awful. It's like, because it's obviously not one of these, like an asylum film that's deliberately made to be awful. It's just...
Yeah, or The Room.
Yeah, it's just someone's tried to make a good film, and it's come out badly, but it's still entertaining, that's the thing.
Yeah, in its own way, yeah.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we've been asking people today is a con like this, a local con as well. What do you think of something like this in this local area?
It's fantastic, just because, purely from a selfish point of view, it's a lot easier to get a case full of prints and comics from my house 20 minutes down the road here than it is to get to Edinburgh or Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just great that there's events cropping up, and unlike some of the other ones that call themselves Comic-Cons, where it's just a room full of people trying to sell you toys and having actors that were third person at the back in a Star Wars film, it is properly about comics and art, which is what's great. I mean, I love the fact there's back issues right beside me, so which takes all the money I'm making at the table. But it's great that it's properly about the comics and about the art, and it's all, again, Scotland's got quite a vibrant small press scene as well, offering quite a lot different to your Marvel, your DC, what have you. So it's great that we've got such a good one on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're saying, is that it is. We talked with Albie about this as well, about how it is a... It's a wonderful sort of creators' con, you know, that you actually get to come in and you know, meet face to face the people that are drawing, writing, and making your books.
It's a lovely atmosphere as well.
Yeah.
Well, I've never been before. Keep meaning. I know, look at Andy just gave me a sort of look of amazement and death at the same time. But I've been meaning to come.
Yeah.
But it is really nice now I'm here. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really nice, and it's much bigger than I thought it was going to be as well.
Well, I've been here since the first one, where it was just in the pavilion, and that was a roaring success. It's like, we'll need to expand. Obviously, you're kind of limited to what you can do. So it's kind of, we've got the marquee here, which we had the year before last, which I was in. I'm thankfully a little bit further away from the door this time, so it's nice and warmer. Obviously, last year, weather apocalypse stopped it happening. But it's great to see that a year's gap hasn't hurt it, that it's just as busy as it was. In fact, probably more so.
Yeah.
And just in terms of footfall.
Well, tell us a bit about your comic. So I'm looking at Jimshoe.
Yes.
How to Spell Trouble, Sin City meets Grange Hill.
Pretty much. It's a friend of mine who did the writing for it. Basically, he's a fan of hard-boiled fiction. And we were just talking about creating something, and we both like... We're of the age that we grew up with the Muppets, so puns and awful jokes are just in there. And he goes, I quite fancy doing something set in school, like a hard-boiled thing. And instead of being a gumshoe, which is the US term for a private detective, Jimshoe. And he said that, goes, you write it, I will draw it. And then just from then on in. And again, it's just like the old sort of, you'll remember sort of adventure strips from the 70s, seen annuals and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's of that ilk, but done in the US sort of 9-panel grid format, because it's quite dense storytelling.
Oh,
and just basically it's a mystery. So it's a complete done in one story, I'm reliably involved. He is working on the sequel at some point, and once that's finished, I'll get cracking to draw it again.
Oh, wow. It looks really good. It's really interesting.
Just a daft idea that just, again, as always, these things are just, I like the idea, go and do it, and it's something different. I mean, you can get any number of variations on superhero comics, so
yeah.
Why would we want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the other sort of like cool thing that I've seen, even just walking about, but having slowly opened myself up to the Scottish comics industry is the independent sort of books. They're on all sorts of topics, and it is that thing where
it's almost like an anti-superhero thing in a way as well, which I can understand, because I guess that's where the industry is just now.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's anti, it's just it's difficult to do something different. I mean, there are a couple of ones out there. There was John Lees, who did Sink and Emily Was Gone, who's a writer, very good. He did one called, I think it was The Standard. It was quite a dark take, and Fraser's done Sleeping Dogs, which is kind of like a superhero or sort of super a vigilante book, really, set in a tower block. It's kind of got a flavour of that.
Yeah.
So, but it's always different takes rather than actual sort of straight up superhero stuff, because you don't need it. And there's a big horror event more, in, I'd say, in the Scottish comics seems to have it's a very rich seam of horror comics kicking about. So
it's because it's horrific being Scottish, I guess.
Where's your civic pride?
It's cool, the kind of different stuff that we're getting, though, coming out of the local scene. Try to think, what else were we talking about and asking?
I think I've had enough of Andy.
Oh, if only you weren't just a little bit closer. Come on, I know, that's it, come closer. No. You never had enough, you miss me.
I do miss you.
I think that was the other thing that I've been asking is, do you feel there's a certain amount of community within like the local scene as well, like not only just with the artists and the writers, but the independent comic shops and the cons and everything that's going on locally now?
Oh yeah, there's a big scene. I mean, again, this is Albie's hard work, or Albie, Sinead and the rest of the family put in to make this work, which I help run a convention, so I know how much work goes into just putting these events on, never mind the fact that in between that they're running a comic shop. It's like, where do they sleep? When do they sleep? Do they sleep? So it's, no, there's always a good scene. It's great for these, so you can actually put names to faces, because otherwise you're as small press, you're doing it through like mail order through websites, so you get like email addresses and online exchanges. But it's nice to occasionally, so oh, I bought that from you online, so oh, did you like it? It's great. And again, yeah, from the artist scene, we all kind of talk to each other, and again, so it's, everyone's very supportive of stuff. Again, all sorts of flavours, and it's just, I think everyone has their own little approach to their technique, to what they're actually trying to offer. So it's great that the small press scene isn't like everyone's not doing the same thing. As you've seen, you'll have wandered around here more than me, because I've been behind this table all day. But there aren't any two stalls exactly the same in terms of what they're actually offering. There might be, as I said, horror is a big thing in Scotland in terms of the comic scene, but the actual type of horror, there's usually, yes, there's a few gore ones, but there's a lot of psychological horrors as well. So it's all a little bit for everyone. And if you want the superhero comics, the guys with the back issues and the actual proper comic shops cater to your needs there, so you've got everything under one roof.
It's wonderful. Wonderful to see. So, yeah, thank you very much for chatting with us today. I think that's it.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool. Well, thank you. We're with Albie. How has your day been?
It's been long. It started about 9 months ago and it's finishing now.
It's kind of like a pregnancy.
It is. No, I'm not going down that line. That is just like getting engaged in some sort of Twitter war, making comments like that. No. In all honesty, it's been a very, very long and very, very spiritually rewarding day.
That's excellent to hear. We've kind of really enjoyed it, coming around and just seeing it, just even just soaking it in, you know, the atmosphere, and everybody that's here just seems to be thoroughly enjoying it. All the creators, people sitting chatting to them, asking them all sorts of questions, like us.
I was saying the demographic, I guess, is younger than I thought it'd be, but it creates a really nice atmosphere. You know,
it's actually peculiar to this event.
Really?
Yeah, it absolutely is a much younger demographic at this event than any of the other ones you'll probably go to. That's kind of the vibe that we're looking for. We want it to be a family and community-based event.
Yeah.
Without compromising on the quality, international quality of the writers and artists that we're putting in front of people in our local community.
Yeah.
So we don't get voice actors and we don't get actors, and that's a choice that we make to not get those people. And people have often said to us, oh, you could get X person, but you're probably too small. That's not true. X person will come to any size of event.
Mm.
You just pay them and they come to your event.
Yeah.
We've chosen to not do that, but we've chosen to market it at a price that a family can afford to come to. So if your kids are living under, it's free. If you've got three children and you're a single parent and they're all under 11, it costs you £10.
Yeah.
And everything else is free on the day.
Yeah. Compare that going to the cinema, you know.
Yeah. So if you want a if your kids want a photograph taken in the X-Wing, it's free. If they want to sit beside the lunar lander or or go to a rocket building workshop or make some origami or listen to some of the top writers in the world talk, it's free.
Yeah.
We try and keep the price as low as humanly possible, and that's why the demographic's so different to a normal comic convention.
Yeah, and what you're saying about it being, we heard that from a lot of the writers and artists we're talking to, but it is a comic con, you know, rather than, although you've got the larger sort of sci-fi media aspects there, it's first and foremost, you know, about creators and especially indie and smaller.
Yeah, we have a red line. It's an 80% red line. So we could have 50 props, but that would mean that we'd have to have exponentially more comic book artists and writers.
Yeah.
So 80% of all of our tables have to be comic book artists and writers. That's the rule that we have for the event. So the more other stuff we get, we have to add on extra comic book artists and writers.
Huh.
And that's definitely, you know, as I say, you get that feel, and you can see just little bits of inspiration and from people as well, and you know, the smile and the sort of like excitement of being able to go and speak to there was a guy next to Fletcher, DC guy, I've forgotten his first name. Brendan. Is it Brendan Fletcher? So we were standing waiting to have a chat with him, and there was a guy and his two kids, and they were like quite excitedly kind of chatting. He was giving them, you know, a good chat back, and it was just nice to see that interaction going on. And again, I think it's that thing that, you know, you just get that one-on-one with the people that are making this stuff.
We choose the people that we invite carefully, and none of the people who we invite as guests are done by accident.
Mm-hmm.
We invite people who are passionate about what they do, but are also able to communicate that passion to the people who are going to go up and speak to them. We kind of think that hearts and minds are won one at a time, and if one child walks away from this event, or one adult walks away from this event and thinks, you know what, I'm going to read something, or I'm going to draw something, and that might be a pastime or a career that they embark on because of something that they've been exposed to here, it's a win for us. That's the whole point of this.
Well, I was saying earlier, sort of felt that in the panel earlier, it was the one about collaboration. But about half it was about collaboration, and the other half was about, but also, you know, we asked how many people want to be writers or are, you know, company. And then a good half of it was about talking about make sure, well, you need to draw, you need to make sure you get paid, but you also, you know, sometimes it is good to work for free and all these sorts of trade-offs. And it was really interesting. Yeah. You know, I hadn't really thought about it.
I think that's the thing, is that, you know, even just something like that, where we're sitting, you know, somebody who's interested in comics and I thought I had a good idea how the whole thing worked, but that opened a whole other door to me of like, what
we were really
on.
Chuffed. We were really chuffed by our panelists this year and the panels that we put together this year. They were all just very, very talkative, fantastically inspirational people who are being honest as well. Very open and very honest about the craft of what they do.
Well, that's it. They didn't pull any punches and didn't not name names and things like that as well. You know, they're quite open to to the chat. And that, again, it is nice, like you say, the honesty and that sort of like just opening not only our eyes as, you know, as casual, you know, fans, the people in the room that actually want to get into this, you know, that'll serve them so well.
And like you say, even if they don't, you know, gaining a pastime, not just a pastime, not just a hobby, but something you can pour yourself into, you know, can help you out in so many, like mental health and everything else, you know.
It's not as, you're right, that, and that's really valid. It's not just about saying to people, everyone here can become a writer or artist, because that's just nonsense, and that's never going to happen. But everyone who's in this room can be an artist or write. And do that on a non-professional basis.
Exactly.
It can be something that you love and love doing, and that helps you, helps your mental health and every other part of your life. Yeah. So, no, it's great. And you know what? It's sunny.
It's damn sight better than it was last year.
We're in a beautiful park in the centre of Dunfermline. It's sunny. There's lots of happy, smiling people. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds of people wearing costumes, walking around. An Iron Man in full Mark One Iron Man armour is about to walk from here to the Kingsgate car park to pick up his car in full Iron Man costume.
That's amazing. I'm saying some
doesn't happen every day.
No. Some of the cosplay has been absolutely cracking.
Mind-blowing this year.
It's been really good. And
three,
again,
4 times as big this year as it has been in any other year.
That's
huge.
Brilliant. Like the guy with the Iron Man kit, I mean, the attention to detail, like everything on the back, you know, like all the sort of like sprockets and springs and, you know, just everything. It was, that's time and effort.
It's effort and time and heart.
Yeah.
And again, these people quite often mock cosplayers and think it's some sort of weird fetish. It's not.
No.
It's just a hobby. It's a hobby like every other hobby. You get really into a hobby.
Yeah.
All hobbies are weird. Let's be real.
Your hobby is doing a podcast.
Yeah,
pretty much. And you put a lot of time and effort into that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like you do when you hear it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kutch puts time and effort in, and the rest of us do nothing. But
the cosplayers are putting in massive amounts of time and effort into that, and they love it, and they travel all around the country, and they meet each other, and they've got groups. It's a fantastic environment.
I think we've touched on this when we've spoke to you before, and we've touched on it with some of the guys that we spoke to as well, and that it's amazing to see that in the town, there is now the space in the town in Fife. I mean, we've got a couple of cons now in Fife. Mm-hmm. But this one, certainly, you know, as I say, you've got all these folk dressed up without a care in the world that they're dressed up. They don't feel like it's, you know, odd, because everybody's here doing
Zero judgment zone.
Yeah, exactly.
As I was saying earlier, it's okay to be weird.
But
maybe when we were younger, it wasn't as okay to be weird. You know what I mean?
Things have definitely changed.
The
attitude towards people expressing themselves like that, it's not just about this Comic-Con and the general attitude has changed. It's much more embraced now.
I think I was saying that it is nice though that there is something like this now in the town where people can feel like they can come along and for a whole day just be themselves and
just be that.
Not have to worry about being picked on or what anybody else says, because everybody here is in the same boat.
Yeah, be unself-conscious. There's quite a few people who have got mental health issues that come, and they enjoy it because they feel the sense of family from the other people who are doing that same hobby. And it's a really welcoming, warm environment, and we are happy to facilitate that happening at our convention. It's not something that it's not honestly something that we have to put huge amounts of effort into, but it's something that we always encourage people to try and do because we think it's got real benefits.
I mean, we've talked as well about the you know, sort of the community and how, like, shops like Little Shop of Heroes, these small, you know, independent bookshops are like also encouraging the artists and the creators, because you're supporting them.
Yeah.
And then you're putting on an event like this where they're able to come along and get that one-on-one time with their fans, with the people that are reading and writing, and also to sell them, you know, the books, and tell them more about it and get them to pick it up.
We were conscious of that when we were interviewing people. It's like, it'll just be a few minutes. We don't want to take too much time away from you.
Not to take your selling time away.
Yeah.
But I mean, we created the shop, and then suddenly people who were wanting to write comics came to the shop and found a place that they thought, well, actually, you know, I can do that. That's something I can do. And that's great. But yeah, I'm relieved it's done for this year. it's a long 9 months of planning to get this done, and it gets a little bit stressful. It's a family thing, so myself and Louise and Sinead, we work together every day. We do this all the time. Mm-hmm. It can sometimes get a little bit fractious, and days like this are the payoff. The payoff is people are smiling and happy.
Everybody's loving it, and there's no bother, no hassle. It's
and this year as well. I think it's important. I mentioned we've been here because of the efforts around the con. We've been able to do workshops for Primary 7 classes in Dunfermline.
Yeah.
So Neil Slorns, who is a fantastic comic book creator, spent the week in Dunfermline visiting Primary 7 schools.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Doing workshops for the kids in Primary 7 schools. And the money that we raise from selling tickets for this event, 10% of that, 90% of it goes to paying for the event.
Yeah.
10% of it goes to paying for things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We would like the balance to shift. In order to do that, you need to sell more tickets.
Yeah.
But there will never be any money taken from this event by us.
Yeah.
The money that this event makes will always go back into our schools.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. And, not to sound too cheesy, but you can sort of feel that sort of ethos just walking around the place. And it's... You know, I thought it was pretty well attended. You know, it was much busier than I thought. We came in at about, what?
Half twelve.
Much busier than it was. Yeah, much bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought the marquee. I think it meant like the wee marquee they have sometimes for a beer festival.
Oh, no.
But no, I didn't realise it's massive.
It is, and I don't use this word very often. A stotter.
It's an absolute stotter.
Yes.
The sort of little avenue you've got going on between the pavilion in the Glen, down through the catering, you've got the food vans there, and then down into the thing. There's just this nice little stream of people walking past. You know, kids excited about what they've been buying. Again, kids excited to see Elsa from Frozen walk by. You know,
and that's a parade that's on from 10 in the morning till 5 at night.
Yeah.
That anyone coming into the park sees for free.
Yeah.
There's no ticket admission for visiting the Glen. It's a free facility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all the stuff that's happening outside, all the people watching, and people watching at these things is one of the best things about them. The people watching is free.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, so some little kids maybe have been able to come along and see a Disney princess and Iron Man and Batman and Spider-Man. And and they don't look at them and say, oh, that's a man in a Spider-Man suit.
They're seeing their characters and brought to life.
And it's maybe thought this wasn't for them, but maybe, you know, we'll be here next year.
Yeah, I like the look of that. That looks like fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, it's so cool. I've been blown away by what this event is. Again, being the first one that we've both been to.
For a shame.
Yeah, well, we tried last year. We all tried. But again, that's what's so nice to see, that it doesn't seem like you've lost a beat either.
No.
After having a year out and everything that happened round about last year having been cancelled due to the weather and all that. And everybody's back again.
The thing about it's important to us as a thing. It's important to us as a thing is so significant that the last year's thing will probably affect us adversely financially for probably looking at about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. It'll be 4 or 5 years of recovery before we get the money back that we spent on that last year. But we still think it's important enough to
keep
do
doing
this.
It. Yeah.
And we think the things that we're doing with it are important enough, and we think people enjoy it. So
all
the time that people are enjoying it,
that's it.
We'll keep on doing it.
Well, I mean, I just even know that, like yesterday, I was at my work and there was a few folk talking about it. And, like, you know, somebody who was like, I don't really get it, but the kids really want to go. So, she was bringing the kids along. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'd love to be able to find a way of letting more people know that it's a thing.
Yeah.
And that it's actually a thing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than a weird thing that isn't their thing.
Yeah.
It's not. It's for everyone. It genuinely is for everyone.
And that's a feeling, you know, overwhelming feeling got today. But just wanted to thank you, Albie.
Yeah,
it's not always a pleasure. The process of doing it isn't always a pleasure, but the day itself always is. And once our guests have been safely dispatched back to their back to their countries, and the marquee is down and everything's back, and we'll sit down, Louise, Sinead and I, on Tuesday probably, and we'll breathe out, and I may open a bottle of whiskey.
Excellent.
Sounds like a good plan. I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to go and have a pint next, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, as Jamie said, thank you very much. Thank you for chatting with us across the last 2 years and letting us come along. And
not at all. As I say, it's always a pleasure.
We've got some chat with some of the local guys and hopefully enough to put a wee show together.
Excellent. I look forward to listening to it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, we've been here now for, so many hours since you last heard from us at the very start of this, which wasn't just a few minutes ago at all.
Destroying the beautiful illusion, the storytelling.
That's what we do. We destroy illusions.
We're storytellers, just as much as these people who pour their heart and souls into comics. Obviously not.
Yeah, that's us indeed. What great day. Great interviews, lovely people, and we absolutely want to come back and would love to do this again, I think. Yeah,
it's really nice. I think someone we're speaking to, I can't remember who, one of our interviewees said it's like, oh, it was Andy Turnbull, said every stall's a bit different.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's kind of interesting because it's like loads of little worlds, and you've got all the people come along with their own little worlds as well, but we're all connected through all the other little... It's very strange.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's a nice sort of atmosphere and feeling.
It kind of always leads me back to that sort of thing. You know, like we talk about, philosophically and a little bit science as well about, potentially we live in a simulation and, all this kind of stuff. But
we don't.
But when you look at, sort of worlds of, these sort of creative writers and artists, comic book creators, like you say, they create something, and then there's a connection, maybe somebody else will maybe write something in the same universe, and it just expands this world and expands the universe, and it gives it life.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
And
maybe
the universe exists inside them as well.
But then it's passed on. It's cool though. I do like it a lot. And the fact that we've got so many people that work on so many different titles and we've got guys here that work with, not for, as we've discovered, but work with Marvel, DC, the two big boys.
Yeah.
Oni Press, who else? Like, all these big names in comics. But then on the other side of it, we've got guys that are working for themselves, smaller prints, smaller runs. And
comic out James Clark Maxwell, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got those. I'm looking forward to reading those. I've got them in my bag.
Okay, good. So I remember you handing them to me at one point. I got worried. I placed them at a table and just walked away.
No. And I've got them, and then I got Andy's book, which was Jim Shu? What was it? Jim Shu? I can't remember the title of it right now. But
you've just listened to it, listeners.
Yeah,
you'll remember.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to getting into that. I could spend a lot more money here today, but I'm trying to be really, really... what's the word? Frugal? I don't know. Yeah. And not do that. good times. I think if you're, next year, if you're thinking about it, come along to Dunfermline, get a ticket. It's a, it's a great day. You can certainly, family day as well. Bring along
the kids. It's a lot younger crowd than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But in a good way. It's
Get them dressed up, and again, it's that thing where they can come and they can talk to the creators and hopefully be inspired, not just into doing comic stuff, but just anything. These guys are showing that just with a little bit of time and ingenuity, you can absolutely come up with anything that you want to. And they're doing it, as I say, some of them are doing it professionally, some of them are doing it on the side. It's a side gig, and it's brilliant to see. Love it. Absolutely love it. Any more thoughts, Jamie?
No. If you want to speak to us, you could do that on our website, 5club.co.uk. Email Ken at 5club.co.uk. Twitter at 5club. Instagram 5club. Facebook.com/fightclubpod, or just Google Fight Club. Just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it.
Oh, Instagram. But just Google it.
Why? Yeah, just Google
everybody
it.
Uses Google, it. Everybody uses Google as for address bar anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, do it. We're there. You'll find us. And come chat to us. Tell us what you think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose it brings me to that time of the podcast where I have to ask,
oh no,
uh-oh, Jamie, what's the motto this week?
Oh my god, I hadn't even thought of it.
Oh, he's panicking.
Yeah, I really am. Okay, it's okay to be a bit of a weirdo, and events like Comic-Con show you that. And you can come here and be a weirdo of other weirdos.
Yeah, like us.
Like us.
Yeah. Do it. Good night.
Night.